Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, joined today by good friend Nick Farabattle. How you doing, man? It's been a minute since we've had you on, but I thought we'd check in a little bit before the playoffs, do some defensive talk, do a little AFC North talk, look at the playoffs, and preview this week. Wow, it's week 14. I mean, we have so little football left. It's crazy to think that we are like 3 weeks away from a regular season being over.
Yeah, man. It's kind of crazy how fast the season's gone. Felt not too long ago we were just starting it up, or if we were even going to have one. But hey, they've gotten through 13 weeks in a pandemic. I think they deserve a little bit of a round of applause for that. Pretty awesome. But, you know, playoffs coming up soon, man. And these matchups are just, like, really important. And we're going to start having teams clinch here this week with the possibility of it.
Yeah, and these games are important. Now, there are starting to be, you know, this is a time of year where you have a bunch of duds, namely, you know, my team plays in one of those this week. I mean, Panthers, Broncos, outside of Eric Jensen, who cares? I mean, so that makes it a little bit easier to on the game pass, because sometimes, you know, there are certain teams I just stop watching at this point in the year. The Bengals, I'm kind of done with them. The Jaguars, the Cowboys, the Panthers, because Teddy's not playing. And, well, yeah, that's about it. But there are probably more. Oh, and the Bears. But still, we have a lot of good stuff to talk about. Let's start. Let's just get into the AFC North. I think this is arguably, well, I have a thing for Aaron Rodgers versus Matthew Stafford matchups. So to me, that's the game I'm most excited to watch this week, just because I really like it when those two quarterbacks get together. And I think the Lions are playing like incredible offense right now with no defense. And there's potential for like an 80-point game there with two teams getting into the 40s. But let's start with Steelers-Bills, which is, you know, the Steelers, obviously one of the better teams in the NFL, 11-1, coming off a tough loss to the Washington football team, but not one I'm entirely shocked by. I kind of thought that maybe there was a shot that they kind of dropped that game. I think long-term, this shouldn't really change the way people feel about the Steelers. I think this is the game that you can learn a lot more from, because James Conner should be back this week, correct?
Correct, he will be.
And we'll get a look at the Steelers to see if their running game gets back, because that seems to have kind of been the issue the past few weeks for them. Am I right in diagnosing the offense that way?
There's issues. I know people were like calling like the worst 11-0 team ever. They have issues, man. This team has legit issues. Like,
who's called them the worst 11-0 team? I would hardcore disagree with that. I think they're a very good team.
I would too. But man, this offense is a mess. Everything is wrong. Everything is wrong. So it's not just the running game; it's the passing game now too, because the receivers can't catch a cold. Big Ben is pretty much drawing up plays in the dirt, so they're not. It's the offense and how it's being called. Juju Smith-Schuster's not running routes that are deeper than 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. They can't throw it deep for some reason because they're it's because of two reasons. One, Big Ben's accuracy has been all over the map. Two, the O-line can't hold up long enough. It's a mess, man. I mean, they got to fix something this week. The Bills' defense has gotten better, too. I don't know. This Steelers team, I mean, if this is kind of the game where I'm circling what they're going to be, don't be surprised if they end like 12-4, man. Don't be surprised. They are. This offense is in serious trouble. Serious trouble if they can't fix this.
So how much of that is on the play calling and how much is that on Ben just being limited? Because I noticed it during the Ravens game. I think like early in the season, you didn't see it as much just because the weather conditions were good. But like, his arm has serious limitations at this point.
So that's the question. Why aren't they throwing deep? Why aren't they throwing to the middle of the field? Is it because of Ben's arm or is it because the O-line can't hold up? I don't know. Because Ben threw deep, I think, 10 times against the Washington football team. Two of them were DPIs. One of them should have been picked off. One was a duck to James Washington. The opening throw was an awful throw. Like, some of his throws look like the old Ben, right? Like, it's this is 2010 Ben. So I think he can do it. I mean, like, he can throw it deep. I know his arm isn't what it used to be, but it's average, but he can do it. I just think they're limiting him, man, like, because they're scared he's not going to do it. Like, they don't want him to turn the ball over, but the issue is defenses are just cheating up and playing the quick passing game and the run game, and I mean, they're just severely limiting guys like Ebron. Like, they barely used Claypool last week. I don't get that. It's like you gotta expand the war chest of what you do offensively. Even if it's just one play this week, maybe you hit a deep 80-yard bomb to Claypool. If it causes Buffalo to respect that deep ball, do it. I think there's a little bit of both, but I think it's part Ben's limitations. It's part this play calling because they're fearful of what would happen if Ben did it. But again, Ben's kind of shown us he can do it. So I think they're just living in their fears.
It's really interesting you bring all that up because Buffalo's defense is playing so much better recently. They obviously really struggled kind of the first half of the year. But I think you can point at that Chargers game as the point where, you know, it really sort of started turning around for them. And the last few weeks, they've had a ton more quarterback pressures. They seem to be starting to develop a pass rush a little bit. And the corners are playing really, really well right now. That's honestly the matchup I'm kind of most excited to see because the Steelers, if you get down to it, probably have the best wide receiving core in the NFL. And I'm just excited to see how these Buffalo corners, you know, react. Obviously Trey White had a fantastic game last week. But there are guys really all over that secondary who are just playing like pretty consistent and good football right now, including Levi Wallace, who's played much better in the last few weeks. So I'm really interested to see that. I know that you're a big defensive guy. I love talking to you about defenses because I think you just kind of see it differently than I do. Have you seen that same kind of jump from Buffalo these past 2 weeks, or is that just me? I just feel like they're a much better defense now than they were 3 weeks ago.
Much better defense, not even close. Much better. Yeah, they've gotten the pass rush because they've developed blitzes. They feel like they have more aggressiveness. They up front, like there's been slight adjustments to their front that the defensive coordinator McDermott had done, and it's just worked so well. Now, I wouldn't consider the pass rush a huge issue for the Steelers, but it's big for Buffalo to have it. But you know, it's the coverage, man. Their coverage, it's the middle of that defense. Like Milano is back. Edmonds is playing at a high level again, and then you have like Poyer and Hyde And then you obviously have Trey White there and Levi Wallace. I mean, they were going at Levi Wallace all the time last week against the 49ers, and I thought he stepped up to the plate. They're playing a lot better. They're now a fringe top 10 defense, if not a top 10 defense.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm interested in Matt. And then obviously the Steelers defense is great. They still rank among kind of the top in the NFL. You probably disagree. I've kind of thought that the Rams have been better, especially the past 4 weeks. I would say right now the Rams are the best defense in the NFL. But that's not to take away from the Steelers. And I wanted to ask you this because I think, because I know I bet we'll differ on this. To me, TJ Watt isn't the defensive player of the year. I think it's Aaron Donald. And it's not that TJ Watt hasn't been good. He's been awesome. He's been, you know, an all pro. But I just feel like, you know, you live in these eras where J.J. Watt was doing it back then, overshadowing guys, and Lawrence Taylor kind of in his prime. When you have one of these generational guys, and I think Aaron Donald is a Lawrence Taylor type, like, it's just hard for me to take anyone but Aaron Donald. But if I could have them share it, I think they would. But that said, I just feel like the things Aaron Donald is doing at this point in his career are absolutely insane. The speed the fact he keeps up with that pick six last night is crazy. He runs step for step with the safety. Like, that's insane. And I'd just be interested to see what you had to say on that kind of front. If you think TJ Watt has outdueled him a little bit, because TJ Watt's starting to get up into that Aaron Donald, JJ Watt kind of stratosphere where he's putting together these awesome seasons that really, you know, can't be ignored. And he's still a young guy. He can keep doing it like this, hopefully for 4 or 5 more years.
This is a debate. It's still, every Steelers fan will tell you it's not close. It's very close. I don't care what anyone says. It's very close. I would give the slightest edge to TJ Watt, only because his numbers across the board are just so ridiculous. Like, he has so many more QB hits than everyone else. He leads the league in sacks. His pressure rate is insane. He just makes himself felt in every facet of the game. When he drops back in coverage, he's ridiculous. He locked up Hollywood Brown. I mean, I think you remember that play. He covered Hollywood Brown down the field, 30 yards. It was insane. I mean, he's done everything. I think he's a guy that just has put, as the Steelers defense has started to receive a few more injuries, to guys like Devin Bush, to guys like Bud Dupree, now just this past week, Joe Hayden, you know, he's kind of kept them afloat. It's always that one big play he makes, that forced fumble, that huge sack. It's him. He's so dominant. He's consistently great. And I would just give it to him slightly, only because Aaron Donald is always great, right? I mean, there's no question about it. And it's so close. But just because of how ridiculous the stats for TJ Watt are, so I use Sports Info Solutions, and his pressures are further way up than everyone else. So he has 58 pressures. The nearest guy, Shaq Barrett, has 46, 12 more pressures. Depending on who you cite there, I think PFF has Aaron Donald more. Depending on who you cite, that can change. But TJ Watt has more pressures than anyone else, more QB hits, more hurries, more QB knockdowns. He's just a difference maker for the Steelers. And, you know, if they give it to Donald, I'm not going to be mad. He too has been phenomenal. But I just think the sheer dominance that TJ Watt has put up this year alone kind of gets him that.
All right. The numbers are similar As I drop something here. Yeah, the numbers are similar, and there's definitely a case to be made for both. I just think it's a really interesting debate because I think it's very close this year. And I'll be interested to see kind of how it ends up going. You know, it's mainly a narrative-driven award, so I think how the teams finish down the stretch will be big-time important in that regard. As far as the Bills' offense goes, I mean, Josh Allen is playing really good right now. He's very streaky. He tends to have two or three good games in a row. This is, if you count them, the start of one of those trends. So I feel like this game, he's set up to have a pretty good game. The Steelers' coverage is still not great. Hasn't been great all year. And I'll be interested to see how this game goes. I do think this is going to be one of the games of the year. I think it's going to be super close, but I'll honestly take the Bills.
Man, I hate to say this. I think it's not going to be close. I think the Bills are going to blow them out of the building.
I just disagree. I just think the Steelers will hang around. That defense does not have the capacity to be blown out.
This is the issue. They do because they are so hurt. Okay. The Steelers are down their top four inside linebackers. They're down Bud Dupree. Hayden is out. Once Joe Hayden went out of the game last week, their coverage collapsed. They didn't have anything. They didn't have an answer for a simple swing pass out of the backfield. They just didn't. Justin Lane didn't play very well. I don't have much faith in them stopping Josh Allen. I think they're going to put up 30 plus points on this defense. I don't have much faith in this offense to really figure it out on another short week, only 6 days. I'm taking the Bills by double digits. That's me, though. And that's coming from a Steelers fan. I really think that people who are hyping this up as a big game, it's really not. I really don't think you're going to be able to get a lot from it, whether you're a Steelers or a Bills fan, because the Steelers aren't really the Steelers. Their D is just so hurt, and their offense is kind of creep walking through right now. Who knows what the heck this Steelers team is going to look up. If their offense shows up, and again, that's kind of why I think it's double digit. If their offense shows up, maybe this turns into a shootout.
I disagree that the game doesn't – you won't be able to learn anything from this.
At least – I'll say this. At least you won't be able to learn much on the Steelers side, okay, other than your offense. Your defense against this Bills team is going to be different if you face them in the postseason. Because Hayden's going to be back. Your linebacker's going to be healthy. You just want to Bush and Dupree. But, like, missing your top four inside linebackers and your top corner is just kind of a killing blow.
All right. Let's move on to the next game that I want to talk about here. Ravens-Browns. Briefly, I just think that the Ravens, I just got done before we started watching that Tuesday game on Game Pass. I think Lamar Jackson looked like this was his best game since week one against the Cowboys. He threw the ball well. He moved with his legs well. The running game got going. And I think this is a tricky spot for the Browns. If you would ask me like 2 days ago, I probably would have taken the Browns in this game. But I'm truly worried. I do think the Ravens are starting to kind of click again. And if they can get moving on offense, the defense is good enough to hold the Browns down, I think. And I think this could easily turn into a Ravens bloodbath if Baker doesn't have a good game. And Baker has not had a string of good games, I would say, ever in his career. Like, last week was the best game since his rookie year, I believe. But he has a really hard time putting those kind of performances together. And if he struggles even a little bit against the Ravens, still a pretty fierce secondary, despite, you know, some of the things they've lost due to injury, I worry about the Browns in this one a little bit.
Man, so the Browns have played very high level recently. I myself have been surprised at kind of how well they performed. But I mean, so first of all, I think we need to say this is big. They might not have Denzel Ward. If they don't have him, big loss.
Yeah.
And I know they don't, the Ravens don't exactly have a great passing attack. But now that Mark Andrews will be back, they'll have a bit more to work with there. Lamar was actually making the throws that were outside the numbers. I agree. That was one of his best passing games in recent memory. I think this game is going to be one Browns offense versus Ravens defense. The Ravens just have such good DBs that you can have really good receivers and it could shut it down. So the play action game might not actually work as well against them as it would another team because they just jam you so well. It's going to be the running game, though. I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are going to have a huge game, and they're going to have to run on the legs of them. Because I certainly think – I just don't I kind of agree with you. I don't envision Baker having a great game. He really hasn't had a fantastic game against an elite defense yet. The Titans' defense, in actuality, isn't that
good. Not good. Very bad.
It's just not good. So, I'm not surprised they kind of stomped them in the first half. I didn't expect them to put 38 points up, but I'm not surprised that they had a lot of success. And then the second half, they kind of went dormant again, right? It was just a real first half explosion. I don't know with this Browns. I mean, they're playing better, but yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think the Ravens, if they just slow down that play action game and can kind of slow down Chubb and Hunt a little bit, they have the tools on offense to really take it for them. But also that O-line has to hold up against Myles Garrett. So there's that.
All right. A little bit of NFC East action. Cardinals, Giants. This is a really interesting game to me. The Giants have been playing so well defensively as of late. Leonard Williams has been a real star for them. The past few weeks and the defense is playing great. I mean, who would have thought James Bradbury would look like a Pro Bowler, but I see this game as one that the Giants should be favored in. I think the Cardinals have been figured out and it's on no way on the players. I think it's on the coaching. I mean, everybody brought Cliff Kingsbury in as this offensive genius, but I mean, now everyone's saying, oh, they're not succeeding because Kyler's just not seeing the looks he needs to run. Okay, well, that's not on Kyler Murray. That's on the coaching to me. It's on the coaching to me that, 90% of your routes have been tunnel screens to nowhere half of this season, that you're not really running DeAndre Hopkins properly on his route tree. There are just a lot of issues with this team, and I don't think in reality Cliff Kingsbury would ever be fired, but I mean, it might not hurt if they have, because they should have been better on offense this year. Christian Kirk is a great wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is arguably the best wide receiver. You should have been better this year, and you should not be, being dictated to on defense if you're an offensive-minded head coach, in my opinion.
I can agree with that argument. Kyler – so, first of all, Kyler's arm is,
great.
Great?
No, I would hardcore disagree. I think he's been fine. There is no issue I see with Kyler Murray.
He looks like he's I think he's injured because he hurt his shoulder a few weeks back. I don't think it's healthy.
No, I think he made
he made
a ton of deep throws this
time. He has the juice, but he's kind of a little erratic right now.
Okay, I disagree with you on this one.
There's that, but I wouldn't blame Kyler. I wouldn't blame Kyler. This is kind of with the Steelers again. This is kind of Kingsbury living in his fears, in my opinion, because he doesn't want Kyler to get hurt worse or Kyler to get popped or something like that. They are going downhill because of Kingsbury, and they never had a great defense anyways. So that's kind of – I agree with you that this is mostly on Kingsbury. I'm not going to blame Kyler for being hurt. I'm not going to blame him for that. It's on Kingsbury. He's got to open up the playbook. You cannot run DeAndre Hopkins like he is Jarvis Landry. That's not what it is. You can't use him like that. As for the Giants, hey, and they're here. They're here to stay. The Giants and the Washington football team look like playoff teams. I never thought that we would have a team that looked like a playoff team coming out of the NFC East. We do. We have two of them, actually. The Giants are really clamping down on defense. They still don't have a great pass rush, but that secondary has really coalesced nicely. Logan Ryan's playing well. They get Xavier McKinney back here. He's playing nicely. You know, they have guys there, and James Bradbury's an all-pro candidate. He might not just be a pro, or he might be an all-pro. He's playing that well. He is locking down everyone he faces. DK Metcalf didn't get much on him last week. It was pretty impressive. I mean, he was that good. Almost everything Metcalf got was not on Bradbury, which, hey, that's kind of speaks volumes to that. So they are just playing well. They still don't have a great quarterback. Daniel Jones is decent, but I don't think the system fits kind of what he does best. And that's if he plays, obviously, too. He still has that hamstring injury. Colt McCoy wasn't bad. He was just a good game manager. It's kind of all they needed. We'll see kind of if Kingsbury decides to open up the offense here. If they do, I think the Cardinals can win this. But if the Giants – if Colt McCoy doesn't or Daniel Jones, whoever is quarterback, just takes care of the football, they get the ground game going because Gallman had over 130 yards rushing last week. They can win this game. I'll take the Giants here.
No one has truly opened it up on the Giants the entire year. They do a pretty good job of keeping everything close. That's one of the things I've most been impressed by. They have never been blown out. They play insanely close games. So I think the Giants are my pick here as well. A little bit of Chiefs-Dolphins. Oh, okay. So I have this take on an earlier podcast this week. I want to run it by you. So I think that the Chiefs are obviously the class of the AFC. You know, I do love them. I think I've stated that on Twitter pretty clearly and said that on this podcast a lot. But I do think the Broncos kind of found a blueprint that teams can use defensively. And that is bend but don't break, because I went and did some more digging. The Chiefs rank among like the worst red zone offenses in the NFL right now. It's sort of crazy how bad they've been in short yardage situations. They can't particularly run the ball in the red zone. They aren't very good at passing it in the red zone. So I think that's kind of the blueprint to keep up with them. Now, do I think Tua and this Dolphins offense can keep up with them? No, I don't think so. I think that they need more weapons. He was fine in the second half of that Bengals game, but I mean, the fact you beat the Bengals that are that shorthanded by only 7 points is a little bit concerning to me, to be quite honest with you. And I just don't know how much I buy the Dolphins. I think they're probably a playoff team. I mean, they're 8-4, so likely they have to win just one, two more games and they're in. But I don't think they can keep up with the Chiefs, but I do think there is a way that the Chiefs are vulnerable, and that in that way is they don't always score touchdowns, and sometimes you can force them to settle for field goals, which I mean is still bad. I mean, that means they're a really good team, but I do think there is a way to contain the offense, and that is stop the big plays, play a lot of zone, let Travis Kelce march on you, and then clamp down in the red zone.
So the question then becomes, is there a team that has a good enough defense that can keep up with them offensively?
I think it's the Bills.
I can see that. I can see, hey, if they figure out the offense, that's the Steelers.
Yeah, I think it's the Bills and the Steelers, and that's it.
I've long said this. As a Steelers fan, I actually don't hate that matchup. I'd rather see them in the AFC Championship than I would see the Bills. because I just don't like our matchup against the Bills. But like the Dolphins have the defense. They have a very good defense. Yeah. Brian Flores
has done a great job there, creating a defense that just creates havoc. That secondary is so good. Xavier Howard is playing like a maniac. Byron Jones has been phenomenal. They have a nice group of safeties there. They have a half decent pass rush. Like they have it kind of all there. They're so fundamentally sound. But like the Chiefs are a team that no matter really how good your defense is, they'll probably get points off you. But yeah, that's kind of the thing. So early in the season, we kind of saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire get a little bit of traction. He could run the ball. They could run the ball. I've long said this, like, I don't think that's a very good O-line that the Chiefs have. I don't think it's good. Like, their interior O-line is
bad. They lost some guys early in the year, too.
Yeah, they did, and it kind of hurts them. I mean, their tackles are fine, but, like, it's the interior O-line. Like, especially last week, Mahomes was running for his life from those interior guys, just beating this interior O-line so bad. And then you have the fact that I really still don't think that's a good Chiefs defense. Like, that Chiefs defense is very vulnerable. They're very much like a bend, don't break, but they are very close to there's a formula to beat them. And it's just, honestly, I think the formula is what the Steelers do. Like, it's beat them underneath and just force them to tackle because they can't tackle. Their best corner is L'Jarius Sneed right now, who's their fourth round rookie. And they just don't tackle well. I mean, if you just throw like a ton of drags, slants, whatever, and you have that receiver talent to do it, do it. Now, I don't think the Dolphins are that team. Tua's played decent. I still don't know what to think of Tua. Like, he's looked okay, but like, he definitely still is like a little antsy. Doesn't make great throws sometimes. Makes some really bad decisions. I don't think, like, the Chiefs are vulnerable, but you need that offense to score 24-plus to beat them, probably. Because the defense can hold them to maybe 21, but if you're an offense, you want to score 30-plus, ideally, against that Chiefs defense. And only a good team can do it. And I don't think the Dolphins are that team. I'll take the Chiefs here.
Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs, too. On Tua, I'm not too worried. I just think he looks like a rookie. I think it's hard just because of who he came in with. To me, Justin Herbert at this point, you can point to specific points of this season and say he was a top five quarterback for 3-4 weeks at a time. And Joe Burrow, you can point and you can probably say when he was healthy, he was a top 10 quarterback. Like, that's just not really the case with Tua. To me, just looks more like a rookie. But no, I'm not concerned about it. I mean, he looks like Kyler Murray did in the first half of his rookie season, which wasn't amazing. So, he's played so few games. This will be what, only his third, fourth start. Like, I'm not too worried about him long term. I don't think you are either. But I just wanted to to put that out there. Next, let's talk about the Raiders and the Colts. So it just kind of depends on what you buy. If you buy that the NFL is a week-to-week league and that trends don't really matter and it's just whoever shows up better on Sunday, you could see the Raiders having a shot in this game. I, however, see a Raiders team that lost to who'd they lose to? Oh, my God. I'm blanking. I follow this team too much. like, they almost lose to the Jets last week. They basically should have lost to the Jets. And
yeah, they lost to the Falcons.
And they lost. They get blown out by the Falcons in Atlanta. And to me, I look at that and I am not entirely confident. But then you look at the Colts and you can honestly make sort of the same argument. You almost lost to the Texans, and I don't care if Deshaun Watson is their quarterback or not. You almost lost to a 4-win team, and the only reason you didn't was because of a bad snap. Like, to me, that's a bit of an issue. And part of the reason that happened was because the offense couldn't always capitalize, and Philip Rivers is limited as a passer, and the defense is awesome, but their secondary has a tendency to fall asleep sometimes. To me, this is as close as you get to a playoff game this week, because I truly sort of believe the loser of this game probably doesn't make the playoffs.
So the Raiders, man, I don't know how to feel about them. So they are, they've kind of given the other blueprint to the Chiefs, just going to track me with them and beat them. And they did it, actually. They did it. But like they have a really good offense. I mean, Derek Carr has actually played well this year, but I'm not in love with him still. I can't get a read on them. Their defense sucks. I will say that. Their defense
blows. It's a very bad defense. Derek Carr has not been good the last 2 weeks either. He has kind of regressed back to sort of what he was before. Sorry, I just know a lot about it. I produce this team's radio broadcast. So the Raiders are just, they're up and down. They're not a team I will buy into. Defensively, they are terrible. I'd say their best player is Nick Kwiatkowski, which is really saying something. And he's been very good. Don't get me wrong. That's not a shot at Nick Kwiatkowski. He has played very, very well this year, especially these past few weeks. But, they are a team that can easily be punished. But the Colts don't really have the weapons to do that. I see this as a very low, low scoring game. And I'm honestly not sure who to pick. I wonder who you have.
I'm going to pick the Colts because they have a great defense, really great defense at that. They play really well. Also, I do think they have a few more weapons. Jonathan Taylor's kind of started to hit his stride. Nyheim Hines is a really good weapon on the backfield. T.Y. Hilton is still there, but he's kind of washed. But they do have Michael Pittman. Pascal is okay. But, like, they have these two running backs that are just really hitting their stride. And Taylor and Nyheim Hines have kind of been their big guys. And T.Y. finally had his breakout game last week. So maybe that's a trend that we can look forward to. I'll take the Colts here.
I'm going to leave my pick blank on this one. I really don't entirely know who to pick. I would not be shocked if either team won this one. Okay, let's get Vikings Buccaneers done. Kirk Cousins has been playing like top 10 Kirk Cousins the last few weeks, looking really good, being like, oh yeah, you could definitely win with this guy. It's why the Vikings paid him a lot of money. Like, they're getting the best possible version of Kirk Cousins lately. The offense is really working. Justin Jefferson is a true number one wide receiver. Dalvin Cook's playing like arguably running back one. He's probably the all-pro at that position. The Buccaneers, however, are coming off a terrible loss to the Chiefs, one in which the scoreline is entirely deceptive. They were never really in that game. They got blown out, basically. The defense struggled. Vontae Davis couldn't control Tyreek Hill. It is crazy that that has gone under the radar this quickly. Tyreek Hill put up 200 yards in a quarter this year. That's insane. But this is a key game because things could go south quickly for the Buccaneers. That's kind of my take. If they lose this game, like, things could go south very quickly. Their schedule down the stretch is full of trap games. I mean, the Falcons could pull something crazy next week. The Lions offense is playing at another worldly level right now, and then they have the Falcons again. They have to win this game because there are other games down the stretch that I think they lose.
The Bucs are a kind of like the Raiders. I can't get a read on them. I don't know what it is with this team. They're so talented. Like, you look on paper, you're like, this should be a potential one seed. How the heck do you have Mike Evans, I know it's a wash Rob Gronkowski, but still Rob Gronkowski. How do you have Mike Evans, Godwin, and Antonio Brown in the same receiver room, plus Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson, and you can't be productive? Like, I get that their running back room kind of sucks. Like, Fournette doesn't really mesh well. Ronald Jones is kind of a bust at this point. Is it Brady? What is it? The defense, which was really good at the start of the year, has fallen off a cliff. They are just kind of – they don't look like a team. They just look like a lot of talented players were thrown onto one team and they just can't gel. Like, that's what they kind of look like right now. And it's a mess. But, yeah, they have to win this game. I think they can do it. But the Vikings are a team that has surged recently. It's kind of weird that their defense has gotten better after trading Yannick Ngakoue, but it has. Their offense is playing at a really high level. Justin Jefferson is phenomenal. Could be rookie of the year, honestly, depending on how you view that. Dalvin Cook's great, obviously. But it's really up to Kirk Cousins and the O-line that has played a lot better. So, you know, whoever wins this game probably makes the playoffs. Because if the Vikings win this game, they're really setting themselves up well for that final spot. Bucks have to win this. They have more talent. They should win this game. I'll take the Buccaneers because this is a depleted secondary for the Vikings too. I think the Bucks will get enough mismatches with Godwin, with AB, with Evans to exploit it. So that's why I'll pick the Bucks.
I sort of think this is a Kirk Cousins surprises the nation type game that he pulls out every year. I think that the Vikings take this one. All right, quickly, 2 minutes or less, a few games that we picked on the side to kind of chat quickly about. 2 minutes or less on each of these. So Texans, Bears. I want to know why you chose this one, Nick.
Because I think the Texans are better than a 4-win team. I think they just hit a gauntlet of great teams, and they're taking losses because of it. And I think they're Deshaun Watson, really, it's a crime that he has a 4-win team right now, but he'll get more help. I think this one's going to be just a blowout. I think the Texans are going to go in there and stomp them. This is just a bad Bears team. They don't have any identity on offense. I wanted just to talk about Deshaun Watson because I really think people need to realize he's having a phenomenal season, and they're on a 4-win team. But the Texans are better than that. They are better than the record. They've just had a really tough schedule. And then Bill O'Brien getting fired and kind of all this stuff. They'll be better next year, man. But the Bears are bad. And I just wanted to talk about the Texans for a minute because I think people should realize the Texans are probably going to be back next year to a degree.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do because they don't have their draft picks at all. So that's where they could not be back next year. But to me, they're a team that if you look at it, they have an equal chance of winning out and an equal chance of losing out. It wouldn't shock me. I do think they end up closer to 8-8 than they do anything less. I think where I expect them to be is 7-8 wins at the end of the year. I think they're going to be kind of a berserker team that takes care of some bad teams in December. Football team, 49ers. This is a better matchup for the 49ers because Nick Mullins plays well when he doesn't have to play in a shootout. And I think Kyle Shanahan can out-scheme any defense, no matter how good the defense is. And I think Robert Saleh can out-scheme a Washington offense that is at this point very dink and dunk. So I kind of like the 49ers in this one.
This is a tough one. The 49ers are – Mullins has played well, but their running game kind of didn't show up last week, which was kind of weird. They kind of just have a few other guys. Like, I think they should just run ahead with Mostert and go with it. Their defense is okay. I don't know, man. This is a stingy front. I'm going to take the Washington football team. I think the Washington football team is going to win this one. I really do. I like their momentum coming off a big win against the Steelers. I think they're going to ride it, and they're just going to And I think they have the weapons there. I know they're not going to have no Gibson, but McLaurin was kept quiet. You're not going to keep Terry McLaurin quiet 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But I like this 49ers team. I like Kyle Shanahan a lot. I think they end up somewhere near 8 wins as well. I think they can stay competitive down the stretch. Saints Eagles, why'd you choose this one?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Why not? How is he going to do? I'm kind of interested because the Saints have a pretty underrated defense. Is Hurts going to look better than Wentz? Is it going to get ugly really quick? I think Jalen Hurts looked last week.
Fine.
Like, he looked meh. Yeah. He looked great, but it's interesting to me kind of how Jalen Hurts is going to look because he's kind of this guy that likes to jailbreak every play and just do something out of structure. Like, he rarely sticks in the pocket and fires it. So I'm kind of interested to see how that works out against the Saints, which are a good team. No, I think the Saints are going to win this one pretty easily, but I'm very interested to see Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, he had a few throws. He definitely has the touch to be an NFL quarterback, and the accuracy is there. So that's good. The arm's maybe not the best, but he can – it looks like he's a guy. So I'll be interested to see what happens here. He's got a tough draw. The Saints defense is playing out of their minds right now. Saints offense, this is the last stand on Taysom Hill. The hill on which Taysom Hill stands on. If he can perform well here, I really do think there's a tough decision in New Orleans. Because if he plays the way he did last week, which was very well, he passed the ball extremely well against the Falcons. If he does that against a pretty decent Eagles secondary, I think there's a legitimate case to be made that he remains your starter down the stretch until he struggles, and then you reevaluate at the playoff mark, because it'd give Breeze a better shot to get healthy, and I think you could still win 3 of your last 4 games and end up 13-3 and a 1 seed with Taysom Hill. So this is a big game, and I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Packers Lions, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. This is just one of my favorite like matchups in the NFL every year. It's one of my more favorite division rivalries. Two really good quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford played really well against the Bears last week. Daryl Bevel has the offense playing good. And I think they've just admitted, like, we have a terrible defense. Forget about that. Let the teams score. And, you know, we're going to come out here and we're just going to throw and try to keep up with teams. And I don't think that'll really work against the Packers, but I think they have a suspect defense that outside of Jaire Alexander is not incredibly talented in the secondary. And I think the Lions can make this a game. I'm interested to see what you would – I'm going to make you pick a final score here because I do think it is going to be very entertaining. I'll go Packers 45, Lions 34.
I think so. The Packers do have a good pass rush, which is something that they can hold their hat on. Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Sterry Smith there, Kenny Clark. And they have a nice pass rush, which could give them trouble, could give Lions trouble. I think the Lions, though, man, yeah, they are playing at a really high level. Adrian Peterson's kind of resurrecting himself yet again. And Stafford is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just in a bad situation. I'm definitely picking the Packers here. There's just no way I can see Aaron Rodgers getting slowed down.
Just now.
Historically do play the Packers a little tough, even when they're bad. So I'll go Packers 38, Lions. How about we'll go 31.
Okay. Lions are going to have more of an uphill battle. Might be a little bit more of a blowout than we both just said. This just came across the wire. Kenny Golladay will not play Sunday, so. That hurts them quite a bit, but still, I think they can be successful. Maybe move that score down from the low 30s to the high 20s. So, yeah, that's it for this week. Nick, thanks so much for joining me. Where can people find some of your stuff? And then let's pop out of here.
Yeah, so you guys can find me at Farabaugh, FB, F-A-R-A-B-A-U-G-H, FB at Twitter. Read my stuff at Steelers Now. It's where my Steelers content is, and my draft stuff at Pro Football Network.
Well, thanks, man. I always love having you on. I appreciate you giving me some time today. Always a ton of fun. And best of luck to the Steelers for the rest of the way down the road.
Yeah, man. Always a joy. So anytime.
Okay, thank you very much. A little bit of house cleaning. Podcast today, obviously. Next week, going to be a lot of podcasts. We'll have a Tuesday show with Joe Rolls and Trey Watkins, a Wednesday show with NFL Network's Mark Sessler, and then we will do a preview show on Thursday or Friday per usual. And then the week of Christmas comes, we're going to be doing one show that'll come out on Tuesday that'll be maybe broken up into 2 hours. That'll be a combined recap and preview of week 15, because this is week 14. All right. Until then, thank you very much for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Endzone Podcast, and we will see you all later. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at Endzone Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.